Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
Again, and he's got it.
Gavin was closing in. Oh, Gavin has scored.
Abdul Osman against Brad Jones to put Liverpool out of the cup, and not that to three.
Yeah! Get it!
Hello and welcome to It's All Cobblers to Me, the podcast that provides the fans' point of view on all things Northampton Town Football Club. I'm Charles Commins, and some would say this is the greatest podcast in history. That someone is me. Plenty to talk about this week as the Cobblers win 2-0 against Burton Albion. We get your three-word reviews, dip into the postbag, and hear all about NTFC Women's FA Cup exploits. I'm here with Cobblers fans Danny Brothers, Chezzy Coleman, and Neil Edgerton. Hello to you all. How are you?
Hello.
All good.
Charles, all good. All good.
Hello.
It's a full house of podders once again. I can't remember who said, but they absolutely love it when there's a full house. Someone said, I think that might have been on our Patreon Slack this week.
Adam, I think, on the Patreon.
Adam.
Yeah.
Yes.
I think he said house. It made his heart feel all warm and fuzzy.
I know. If he actually knew us all,
that might quite the opposite.
Yes, it's lovely to be back for another week of joy. It's also particularly lovely. Now, obviously, there was the win, which makes us all in much higher spirits. But there was some lovely stuff post-match, wasn't there? Danny, you particularly, well, Chezzy actually was really, really loving it. Mark Leonard, did you see Mark Leonard's post-match interview with one and the only Tim Oglethorpe?
Yeah. I did.
Yeah. Of course, he had something very amazing to say, didn't he? Shall we take a little listen?
Yeah, definitely. I think someone said it was the best
podcast
yesterday.
Very close to that, I'd say.
I think someone said that it was the best
podcast
I've ever seen, and I think that person was me. So, but no, it was great.
Thank you, Mark Leonard. There you go.
Oh, thanks, Mark. That's lovely.
Seal of approval from Mark Leonard there. Brilliant. I'm enthralled. It's lovely.
Did you also hear how much Tim Oglethorpe liked Mark Leonard's body?
Yeah. Yes, I did. And credit to Jake Sharp for making sure that had been clipped out at the end. Tim was very embarrassed, wasn't he? Suitably so, I think. I particularly enjoyed the point where Tim said, never play that again, and immediately straight away, back on air again.
Did you also hear Tim Oglethorpe getting dramatically carried away with the victory?
Yeah, a little bit. And actually, this is a really good place to start because obviously...
That's what I'm here this for. Is the, link is up, don't you worry.
Fabulous, Neil.
Reggie.
Excellent job. Have a pay rise.
Reggie Linker.
Reggie Blinker.
The first thing that I thought while I was listening, especially to the post-match on Radio Northampton, was let's not get carried away. We've been quite down in the dumps, haven't we, over the last few weeks, and last week especially, I think. And I don't just mean us. I mean the fan base as a whole felt like it had been a bit down in the dumps. Certainly the vocal social media sort of part of the fan base, at the very least. And I immediately sort of went, and by the way, I'm not trying to downplay the win or anything like that, or say it wasn't a good win. I just don't want us to go completely the other way now and be like, this is amazing, we're brilliant, and everything's rosy again.
That's my notes out the window there.
Oh, sorry, Danny.
Oh, he's thrown them.
He's actually thrown them. They're gone. Notes gone.
Oh, he's all going.
He's got loads.
The cat, Danny. Leave the car alone. No,
I can't. Yeah,
I think last week we had a valid point in the fact that I think it was annoyance based out of frustration without the context of the league. I think the context of the league is quite crucial in this, because if you take, for example, us and Exeter, two teams, fairly similar in terms of their journey through the Football League in the last decade, kind of to and fro in between League One and League Two, I would argue. Now, we met at the end of September and we blew them away, absolutely blew them away, and they were second. They're now 19th, one place below us. And so we talked about it early in the season in terms of placement and expectation. Well, actually, for us, we've probably found a bit of a ground as to where we think we should be at the moment. And you've got teams around you who are probably starting to level out as well. And so our expectation, because we started to beat teams that were higher up at the leagues at the beginning, I think we got a false sense of where we could potentially be. And now that started to even out a little bit. If you take people like Exeter and people like Stevenage, there's been a bit of a equilibrium found for those teams. And for us, it's probably just been a little bit of a wake-up call for the fan base, not the actual club. I think they've been handling things fairly well. I think we tend to be slightly more emotional and slightly more panic-stricken with every loss, because that's what football fans naturally do. But I think we've found a ground now where we think, right, okay, so we are grinding out results. We're going to have to do that. Neil said it last week on the pod, and I think that came to fruition yesterday in terms of we just need to be a little bit harder to beat and stay within our means, not get carried away. That's really, really important, because actually this win is one, and we need more than one win to steady what has been an uncertain ship currently. But actually, in the grand scheme of things, I'm not concerned, but I'm not blown away either. I think we're just about where we need to be, and that's fine.
Yeah, I think that you can be, and Danny, I will allow you to be like this, you can be happy with the win and take it in the isolation of that one game. But I don't think we should, we shouldn't get, what I mean is don't get carried away with, oh, now we're definitely going to finish mid-table and it's going to be completely, you know, almost a mundane season of mediocrity, when, you know, it is just the one game out of, you know, the last, what was it, six that we'd not won in, I think, before this game. So, I mean, it's just that thing that let's look at the game in isolation and be really happy about the win, and because we should be, but let's not get carried away looking at the rest of the season in that way. And being like too happy, just the same as we shouldn't get too carried away and be too downbeat when we don't win. I think it was fair last week that we were all quite down over the fact that yet again we've got knocked out of the FA Cup at the first hurdle, but that's fair. But I don't want to necessarily now go and completely switch it, you know, from being miserable last week to now being ecstatic. I know that that would be properly, you know, football fan-esque, but I'm just a bit wary of it. But talking about the game itself, Danny, I'll come to you now so that you can go and grab your notes back. But I the one big thing that I kind of thought while I was watching the game was how much we actually seemed to be looking like we were playing more like we were last season. It wasn't as pass it around at the back, and you know, although we've enjoyed that bit of you know, football play at the start of the season, I felt like it was, there was less of that, and there was more just let's get it forward at times, and it doesn't have to be all played across the back three or back four, whatever it is that the formation had.
Did
you notice that as well?
Yeah, there's more purpose purpose about the passing, and we spoke last week about it being so slow and so drawn out, the attacks, and it not going anywhere. But this, there was a lot, and it was, we'll come on to him probably a bit later, but it was a lot of it was down to Jack Sowerby just setting the tone. We've played a lot this season with Mark Leonard in that Sowerby position where he played on Saturday, where he gets the ball and he starts spraying it around. But what Sowerby does as well is he's chasing balls down, he's making mistakes come from the opposition, and is allowing Leonard to go up and do his thing further up the pitch, which is great in itself. But he sets the tone, and he gives us just that sense of a comfort blanket and a sense of control of just like, oh, Jack's in there, it's going to be all right. It's because he's never kind of off his game, and I don't think I've seen him off his game for ages. And he's the sort of player like he'll give like a solid 7-8 performance every week. I think this was at more towards a 9 on Saturday, but he'll put it in, and you won't necessarily notice what he's doing. But off the ball, he's doing some great stuff. He's harrying the position, but he's getting the attacks going as well. And a lot of it was down to that one little change. And we can't be that reliant on Jack Sowerby being in place to perform every week. But it just gave us that extra sense of a little bit more purpose and control over the attacks. And when he got the ball, it was quick term. Like, what can I do with it now? It was a bit more like it in terms of what we want to see. It just gave us that a real good, control over the game. I thought
there was three elements to it, I think, from watching it, is that because Sowerby was back, what that did was unlock Leonard, and then we had Bowie back, so it was a chain reaction, I think, through the whole formation. So you had building from the back, whilst we've had to almost go crab like kind of in a sideways because we haven't had that key to unlock to go forward. So we've actually been able to have three bits of a jigsaw, effectively.
All right, Keith.
I know. Going through the squad almost in a straight line towards the goal, which sounds a little bit strange, but actually without that forward movement, what we were doing is we were becoming completely stuck, either right at the defence or on the edge of the penalty box. And I'm just like, actually, we can do more when we've got those, particularly having Bowie and Sowerby back, but then having Leonard unlocked in the middle because they're back made such a difference. So yes, okay, we can argue that, you know, we can't rely on one player, but actually having the two unlocked the third player, and therefore you've got three different elements of your play that you've lost for the last couple of games. And again, that's why Bowie sending off was damning for us, really.
Yeah, I'd agree with that. And I think the fact that we've missed the spine, haven't we?
Yeah, that's what I was trying to say.
The spine still isn't
line.
Fully back yet, is it? Because obviously Guthrie's still injured and Burge. But it was interesting because it was. Would you have called it, Neil, a game of two halves on Saturday? Because I think you were a little bit bored, weren't you? I think you said at half time it hadn't been the most end. There hadn't been a lot of end product from either sides in the first half. Chances had sort of come, but I don't think there was even a shot on target in the first half.
I'll tell you why I was bored in the first half, Charles.
Go on, please do.
I was sat next to Junior Sammons.
Oh no.
You know all he was whittling on about?
Poor Matt. Don't call the listeners out, Neil.
Every time. Oh, there's Cole Stockton warming up, look. There he is. Every so often a little chant of, Coley! Shut up, Matt. The first half was
in
seriousness. Matt was lovely to sit next to, but he yawned a lot in the first half. And so did I. It was a dull first half, but it's possibly what we needed a little bit, because we got into a bit of a habit of going behind pretty early, haven't we? So I mean, my favourite thing about Saturday was essentially Brady has shown, certainly to me, it was one of the knocks or concerns I had about him was, does he have the ability? I wasn't sure if he did or he didn't, to adapt and to change things, because we were trying to do the same thing. We were trying to keep playing football and we didn't have the squad for it at that moment in time. So then a lot of people have said before, like, we need to push Leonard forward, which was a pretty obvious thing to be doing. But obviously without Sowerby in there, you can't do that necessarily, because you need someone with McWilliam. So I think it all sort of, everything that happened on Saturday that Brady decided to do and the tweaks and the changes, it made sense and it was absolutely the right thing to do. And I'm glad it worked for him. What was your original question? Game of two halves?
Yeah, because obviously the second half was where the action was, really, wasn't it? I mean, it takes a fantastic strike from Mark Leonard to open the scoring. I mean, I think it would be fair to say that when we came out for the second half, we had definitely gone up a gear, I felt, and it looked like we were going to go more. I think it almost felt like, to me, watching it, that John Brady's halftime team talk probably was something along the lines of, look, we're doing okay and we're getting into good areas. We're having those final third, what does he call them? Not injections, entries.
Penetrations.
Yeah, love it. But we need to get on the end and make something of those. And so we started to do that a little bit more, but it still took, you know, Mark Leonard's strike from, what was he, about 20 yards, 25 yards?
Just outside the box, wasn't it?
Yeah, just outside the box, you know, and it was a great strike to open the scoring. But you could see straight away the confidence just lifted. And from then on, it was like, okay, yes, we've still got to stay tight. Burton still posed a little bit of a problem, not necessarily a threat, but they definitely had a little bit of something about them when they actually decided that they didn't want to just walk around like they were doing for most of it. I think that's what Dino Marmaria said, that they weren't quite at the races. Yeah, Dino Marmalade, sorry. But yeah, I thought that as soon as that goal goes in, the confidence lifts. And it this is easy to say in hindsight, right? But it did genuinely, I thought, look like there was only one team that was going to go on now and win the game. I couldn't see Burton coming back into it.
Yeah, I said at halftime, I didn't want to say it too loudly, but I thought these lot are here for the taking, because they were just awful for the entire game. And from that first
half, you said it pretty loudly.
Yeah.
I did tell you to be quiet, actually.
I did say it to more people than I thought, I felt like there were. I just thought that, you know, some teams you get a feel of and you think, oh, you know, they can't be that bad second half. I looked at Burton and I thought they probably can be that bad second half, if that makes any sense. And like, it baffled me as to where they were in the league and some of the wins that they've got, like they beat Bristol Rovers 4-1, things like that. They've beaten some decent sides this season, and I just thought, where is that team? And they just look lacking of energy and lacking of quality and everything like that. And I just thought, if we don't win this game, it's going to feel like a real kind of couple of points dropped, because they're just so poor. And I saw the chances there for us. But yeah, like you said, as soon as we scored the first goal, we looked completely in control of it. I sat there in injury time, well, not injury time, but, you know, 5-10 minutes left. Sometimes you're like, even you 2-0 up, you think, you know, maybe they'll get a goal, they'll nick one. You just thought, you know, didn't feel it at all until the changes happened in injury time. That's when I started to panic, and that's when our defence just started to go all over the place. We just
old jelly legs came on,
and everything was just confusion and panic, and suddenly we were just like, what the hell is going on? We're in such control.
It was a period of fun, though.
It was a period of fun, to be fair, because we were quite comfortable sat there. I was even like, yeah, sat back on my chair thinking, oh, look, this is nice, a nice afternoon. Just inject a little bit of panic by throwing old jelly legs on there.
Oh, goodness me.
He just, even when he does things effectively, he looks panic stricken. Does that
That's
make
what
sense?
It is, yeah.
Like when you're watching as a spectator, he's got everything under control.
He made a great block on Saturday. He made a genuinely, it was a great block, but he looked so confused by it. he was not supposed to do that.
Every time he gets the football, he's like, oh, I'm a footballer.
Yeah. Like,
and I love him for it. I love him because it brings a lot of joy to my life watching him play football. Sometimes for the wrong reasons, but oh my God.
He's a lot of fun, isn't he?
He is.
Yeah.
Hang on. Pause. We need to point out that we're talking about Mané Monthe because we don't think we've actually named it.
I'm pretty sure everybody knows who we're talking about.
I would rather someone like that be playing up front rather than centre back. If you'd rather him be an Ishmael Di Montagnac than a centre back, wouldn't you? But
he's got like a bit of the Peter Crouches about him. Is that what you're trying to say, Gary?
Yeah,
I think you
might be right in that sense. Yeah, that's a good shout because you're like, he doesn't look like he's going to do anything. He looks like he might fluff it sometimes, but it's actually for the most part, it's in control. It's just the panic that he ensues in people. You
remember Paolo Wonchop?
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah. No one knew what he was going to do.
When he was a striker, he didn't know what he was doing. No. And he was great fun.
Yeah,
I always think
what
it's a
old
bit
Jenny
like,
Legs is like.
It's a bit like, you know, when you're learning to drive. If any of us can remember back to when that actually happened.
No, when you drive, you're driving in circles. You're not supposed to.
My driving instructor used to say that your job as the driver is to make sure that everybody in your car feels safe. So you have to make sure, don't do anything stupid. Like, don't take a corner at 100 miles an hour that makes somebody grip hold of the, you know, their seat or anything like that. If other drivers out there do something, it's pretty much the same in that really what defenders should do is just be nice and calm and look, just clear it. If that's what it needs to be, just clear it. Because if you're like Monty is, then all you do is instill fear into the fan base. It's a bit like when Bill O'Kelly come for a cross.
Not just fear, there's excitement too.
Oh, anticipation.
Anticipation, excitement. Yeah. What's going to happen next?
Yeah, there you go. Yeah, exactly. Can we have a word for Sam Hoskins? I know we do it an awful lot.
Love him.
But he's up to eighth now in the top scorers for the football club rankings.
It's unbelievable.
What an incredible, incredible shift that he put in as well. And I know that he's not necessarily the one that everybody sort of, you know, because we'll talk about that in a minute, but, you know, he's not necessarily the player that stood out above the rest of them, but his goal was taken so well. Absolute beauty. And the thing is, you've now got opposition fans. And, you know, obviously, you know, we've probably had managers and opposition players talking about him beforehand. But opposition fans, Ed on the preview show last week was literally like, just don't give. The last thing that we want to do is give Sam Hoskins a sniff. Yeah, and essentially, that's what happened, and he scores.
Yeah, the thing with Sam Hoskins is that he can be, and I mean this with the greatest of respects, and I don't mean this in a derogatory way in terms of how he plays, but I think particularly in League One, it's been quite prevalent, is that he can be slightly anonymous in terms of actually, he does everything on the ground really well, runs really well, makes some good moves, sets up decent passages of play, but he'll just come from nowhere. He won't be tracked and he'll suddenly just put the ball in the net, like done. And it will literally come from nowhere and it'll just stop defences in their tracks, literally. And that's what you need from him, because actually in League One, he's going to get less time. We know that. And that's okay. And he's not going to be in the game as much. We know that because we're playing at a much higher level. But actually, he can still unlock a game and get 3 points just with his skill, because actually the confidence is so high at the moment that the skill comes with that.
It's the composure on Saturday with that goal, wasn't it? It was like he didn't take a swipe at it. He didn't kind of smash it first time. He just took it, and that's not something that he used to do. He would have just smashed that into Rose Ed when in his first couple of seasons. But he's got that knack that composure of just waiting for your moment and finishing as well. And when he gets in that position, you thought that's a goal. And that's what he's added to his game.
His left foot as well.
His left foot, yeah. And we always said, didn't we, about Hoskins in the early days of the podcast when all of you were just doubting his ability. If he adds a finishing product, what can he be? You know, and he's proven himself. And a lot
me and Charles were always very positive about
Mr. Hoskins. I think you'll find.
But look at the list now. That is joint eighth in the top scorers list, right? He's five away from overtaking Tommy Fowler. Which is, you say a name like that and you automatically think, you know, cobbler's legends, you run them off, don't you? Like Tommy Fowler, Frank Large, all this kind of thing, Jack English. And we're living through, and it might not feel Ashley Corker, yeah. It might not feel it at the time, but we're living through someone who's going to be spoken about in those terms in like 20, 30 years' time, which is unbelievable for a player like Sam to improve and to work on and to come into his own the way he has done over the last couple of seasons is incredible. I mean, what a story it's been. And I think we won't really appreciate what we've got until he's moved on or had his testimonial or whatever. It's a special time to be watching it now, and to be saying it about Sam is great. I love it.
I think what makes it even more special is that the generation that we are looking back will remember it so fondly on the basis that he's defied absolutely every odd and most of the fan base in doing what he's done. Because you will always have your John Frains that score winning goals in big moments. Then they're great for the club. But what he's done is he's come from being sometimes, at times, the most hated player on the pitch to one of the greatest players in the club's history, which is insane.
And he's had those big moments as well.
Yeah,
absolutely. I mean, I'm looking at the list of the top 20 that we've got here. And the thing is that in our lifetime, the four of us on the pod, especially Chezzy's lifetime being a bit younger than the rest of us.
Baby.
But yeah, the baby of the pod. I mean, essentially, I'm looking at this list. So number one, Jack English, 143 goals from 321 appearances from 1947 to 1959.
Catchable.
Way before our time. Catchable, definitely. Yeah. Love that. Ted Bowen is number two, 1927 to 31. I'd argue that there'd be very few people still alive to have witnessed any of Ted's goals. Even less Melbourne, for William Melbourne Lockett. Melbourne Cobbler will remember, yeah, definitely. Hi, Dale. William Lockett, 1914 to 1926 with 109. Frank Large is probably the one that most of our listeners, in terms of those of us that or those that are older than us, will remember at some point. He had three spells with the Cobblers between 1962 and 1972, scored 96 goals. Albert Dawes, 1929 to 1933. Albert Lewis, 98, 1913. And then Tommy Fowler, who Danny mentioned before, 1946 to 1961. I mean, you then get to Sam, obviously joined in 2015. I mean, there's only actually another three, maybe four players on this list who I would imagine that listeners to the pod will remember. And that is Bayo, of course, got 74 over his two spells. Who else got? Ian Benjamin, got 68 between 84 and 87. And then Rico is on 63. So everybody else, you've got a couple more, John Fairbrother and Paul Stratford, who people might remember as well. It's just great from me, from my point of view, to be seeing a player play for our club, doing this, being so high in those rankings, in that list of goal scorers, and we're getting to see him.
Yeah, like, exactly. Yeah.
We talk about Jack English before, and obviously none of us have ever seen a single goal because it's not even like there was, you know, a TV camera watching Division 4 football or whatever it was we were playing in at the time. So we've never even seen a Jack English goal between the four of us. Yet we've seen probably all of Sam Hoskins' goals, either in the flesh, in the stadium, or on a highlight reel. In a way, we're privileged, right?
Yep, very much so. Yep.
Can he make it to 144, which would beat Jack English's top scoring record?
What's he on now?
84.
So he needs another 60, basically.
Yeah.
4 years.
It feels unlikely, but you never know.
You never know. I mean, if he had 20 goals a season last year, this year, next year, and the year after, he'd make it.
He's going to get to 100, surely. He's got 16 to go to 100. Maths with Danny, thank you.
He'll get to 100.
He'll get to 100. Yeah.
That's 100. Something in itself, isn't it? Like to go, he'll go above Frank Large with that, which is nuts. It's just unbelievable. Imagine.
How do you reckon they'll do that? Because you know when they get when the players make an appearance. Do you remember where they used to put the balls into the formation of a number? Or maybe they'll get a printed shirt and they'll stick it on one of those What would you get? Neil, you're the football coach. Are those like? They're not mannequins, are they? Because they're like see through, or they're you know, you can.
They're like little metal.
They're like
sticks.
wired yeah. men.
That's not I know big what enough mean, for 100 goals.
No, come you know on. What they're going to do. They'll drop 100 balls off the top of the lift tower.
Let's move on and talk about a couple of the other appearances. Aaron McGowan needs to be mentioned.
What a legend.
Because, what a performance.
I think it's fair to say that we maybe didn't think that he was going to feature much this season, having not featured so far, really, in League One, apart from a couple of cameos. And yet he came on. Oh, well, I say came on. He started the game, of course. Fantastic game. For me, he was my man of the match. I know it got given to Mark Leonard officially, but Aaron McGowan was just amazing. We Chezzy, you talked about needing a leader in previous weeks. He was everything that we needed and had been missing while Guthrie's been out, right?
Yeah, I think it was a very mature performance. A performance that I think maybe was needed to protect both the players in front of him, but also Max Thompson as well. That was really, really crucial. If I think back to massive occasions this season in terms of the Peterborough game, we did a lot to protect him and get him over the line with a clean sheet, so to speak. And I think Aaron McGowan's work went a little bit unnoticed at times in previous occasions, but I would say that on Saturday he just came into his own. But one thing I really loved is that even when we'd scored, if you look at the Will Ulrich's brilliant from a different angle, when the second one goes in, Aaron is on the lino, in a respectful manner, by the way, on the lino saying, oh, yeah, this should have been given. And it's kind of that need and want to protect the players around you and be vocal in terms of how you represent your players and making sure that you're looking after the people around you. That's really, really important. And yeah, it gives the younger players somebody to look up to, but it also gives them the protection that they need on big occasions. Mm. And by the way, can I point out, I know that it's a game against Burton Albion, which is a very much a normal League One game, but actually this was a big game. If we'd have lost this, Sixfield turns in a way that I don't think we'll recover from a while. So this was important. Yeah. This was a big occasion.
And that might well have been part of Brady's thinking in terms of Brady needed a result, didn't he? You know, I'm not saying he was on edge or anything, but he needed a result going into you got 2 week break. I mean, I think McGowan said something similar after the game, didn't he? But is that type of character you need on the pitch who embodies the club and he'll fight for the balls, he'll pull his defenders into position, he'll get the crowd going just by doing a tackle. And we've been missing that. We've been missing that kind of passion. And I think it was a really clever move by Brady to put him in because he knows what he's going to get. He knows that he's got 2 weeks to get over it afterwards. So he's like, right, go out there, Azza, get 90 minutes and you can rest for 2 weeks. But he just does all the dogged work at the back and he just puts everyone in order and it just felt so secure and so in control. And that was a major part of it. And just the energy that he had and the leadership was fantastic at the weekend. And, you know, was so, so happy to have him in there. I think Oddie Mayo has been decent, but we have been lacking since Guthrie's been missing that leadership. So go on, Azza. Yeah. I did enjoy his attempted rugby tackle as well near the end, which is when he just ran out of gas.
He got away with it, didn't he?
He just completely ran out of gas. His players gone around him and he's just died. He's gone to take him out. He did get away with it a little bit.
It became a little bit X-rated.
It did, didn't it?
The lady sat near me and Danny, she was excited.
It'll do that to you, Azza.
Thorpe excited as well. Look at his body. Look at his body.
She turned and gave us a wry little smile and a wink.
Oh, hello. What did you do with when Ali Koike came on for his 22nd cameo? Did you give him a little bit of a wave and a wink?
He was an important cameo.
It was. Very, very important cameo.
Very important.
He's off the bench.
He shored things up.
The way that he ran from the sideline to the left wing was perfection. And that was it. And then full-time whistle went.
It's knee-high.
Yeah. Oh, I mean, the way he tied his boots up before he came on, just led by example, I thought.
I don't know if we don't win that game if he doesn't come on.
Did James... I presume here that James Hennigan gave him a 10.
No, because... Henners is too serious.
Too serious, yeah.
Too serious.
Henners had gone home by that point.
I can't have a joke in there. Maybe Henners, he'd already filed it, so it was too late to adjust it.
Done, dusted. Fair enough.
But no, outstanding from the alley.
Okay, well, that's it for part one. In part two, we'll read out your three-word reviews. While you're listening to the ads, why not take a look at all the extra stuff you can get when you sign up to support the podcast at patreon.com/cobblers2me. Sign up now and get a 7-day free trial to test it all out without paying a penny. We'll be back in a minute.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal. Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
Welcome back to It's All Cobblers to Me. Well, you've heard what we thought about the game, but what was your immediate reaction to the 2-0 win over Burton Albion? Let's find out, shall we, with some of your three-word reviews. Insert Malcolm jingle here when he's done it.
Come on, Malcolm.
Okay, three-word review time. We're going to start with a Burton Albion fan.
Oh,
this week. This is Ed, who was on the preview show on Friday. We've already mentioned how he said about Sam Hoskins and making sure that we didn't give him a sniff. Well, his three-word review was simply, bloody Sam Hoskins, which I enjoyed. Thank you very much, Ed. Also, big thank you to Ed for his lovely kind words about the podcast after it was released on Friday. Thank you very much. It's very nice when we
it's great. I loved it.
Nice feedback. Enjoyed and also, it. Thank you to, I think, Tony James earlier on, I think it was, on Sunday,
TJ
said some rather nice things about us being a really good podcast. So thank you very much for everybody that listens, of course. Three-word reviews, anyway. Thomas B. Sampson, real class performance. Stephen Tomlin, great team effort. Sir Penny said McGowan, Sowerby, Bowie. Yes, the spine was back for that, which was lovely. The Orton Cobbler said so much better. Liz, McGowan a leader. Mike Fuller, we're staying up. Now, come on, Mike. Come on. Jonathan Hillier, back on track. Karen said we needed that. Tara was enjoying Leonard's class. Keely Townsend said superb second half. Winning ways return, says Carl. Graham Treadwell, a lot better. Justin Wally said the belief returns. McGowan as skipper. Said Heidi, Patrick, Bowie, Leonard, spearhead.
Nice. Like that.
Adam Treen, I like this one. Leonard, Scottish Messi. Beautiful. Emin in Turkey said, stealing Burton's breweries, which I enjoyed immensely. Carlin
that
said,
should be
Max
how it works.
Thompson quality.
Wouldn't that be great? Wouldn't that be fantastic if that's how it worked? So say if they'd beaten us, right? Yeah. They got all the cobblers.
Right, I see what you mean.
They get churches.
They get churches.
Yeah. We get the brewery.
We get Carling Coors or whatever it is.
Yeah. How good would that be?
That would be funny. Mark Josiah said front foot football, which I think that's what we were sort of meaning at the beginning of the pod, wasn't it? That there was much more purpose to the game.
Yeah.
David said trust in Brady. Gavin, we needed that. There's a lot of like these from Buchero, more like it. We had a few of those as well. Tom Foster, Pinnock out wide. Yes.
Yeah, that worked really well.
I mean, I'm not being funny, but I think every single Cobblers fan has said this for the past year.
He's more
right?
effective.
He's more effective out wide than he is as a number 10. And yet again, there you go. And I think he has a better game as well. Neil, can you explain this one to me, please?
I'll try, mate. Go for it.
You said Lemmings, Swass, Zool.
Three of my favourite games I used to play on my Amiga 500 Plus.
Right. Okay, fine. Good. No idea what you were going on. Lemmings.
I was on there.
What's SWOS?
Sensible World of Soccer.
Of course it is. Bloody Swass. Nora.
Goalscoring superstar hero.
Yeah.
Can I just bring you back on something, Neil, as well? You know, you're talking about us getting getting the stuff of whoever we beat. Like we were getting the brewery. It's like we win the brewery. Can I please put in a plea to the club to never play, just in case, Deportivo Wanker?
Next year's pre-season tour.
I really hope that happens now.
Or if we play FC Santa Claus, just get them all in.
Oh, we get all the presents. Santas. Yeah. Rob Duncan, I like these ones. Droopy Brewers Bossed.
Oh, nice. Droopy. Enjoyed that one. They were quite droopy, actually.
Droopy.
Yeah, apart from Dino Marmalade's Dress Down Friday attire, that wasn't that droopy. I enjoyed it.
No, it wasn't, was it?
Yeah. No, you said we enjoyed it.
Dress down Dino.
I love the way that Danny goes to the football, and obviously he's looking forward to the game, but the things that Danny will notice more than anybody else, it's incredible. I love it. Absolutely love it. Kat's got a question for us all.
Kat's mum
Danny,
for Prime Minister.
I'll come to you for this.
Kat's mum for Home Secretary.
Do we return? Obviously missed the match.
Oh, right, again.
Kat and their mum.
Where are they? Do you know where they are?
I don't. It's a three-word review, and Kat has been very, very good and obeyed the rules.
I mean, no context. It's quite a long time. It's like 2 weeks till the next match, if you don't count the Vroom Vroom Vars on Tuesday night.
Yeah, we're not counting the Vroom Vroom Vars.
No. I think they should come back, and then on the Friday before the next game, pop off again.
Mm-hmm.
Just because it's a bit long, right? It's a bit long, bit of a long break to
bit long.
Get back.
Okay. Alan Pestle said, "Mark of class." Mark Crilly said, "Much needed response," which completely agree with. David Rutt said, "A great response." I completely agree with all of those ones. It's nice that these are so positive. Martin Pell said, "Mark Leonard, outstanding." And then just to end with the one that we always end with, Chris says, 19th stays up.
Yes, Chris.
There we go. Thank you very much for your three-word reviews. You can get them, give them to us, on Twitter after every match. I'll put a tweet out asking for them. Just reply, very easy, at @cobblers2me. There was another big important thing that happened on Saturday before the game. The community pitch was opened. It looks amazing. I mean, I've yet to see it in person, but just looking at the photos of it,
it does look swish.
I just love the fact, I thought, don't get me wrong, and I'm not trying to put any downer on this whatsoever. I thought at the time, oh, it's just going to be, you know, a bit like a, what I can't remember what they call them, but you know where you get them in public parks where they're like,
no, the ones,
you know,
the basketball
game arena things that you know, can play football, basketballs and stuff like
mugger.
That. A mugger, that's the word. Thank you. Yeah, multi-use game arena.
Well, you said you find them in local parks.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Cool.
He says you're a mugger.
You do get them in parks
as
well.
Get them in parks.
I thought it was just going to look like, you know, one of those, but actually a claret floor with the club badge in the centre circle.
Yeah.
It's amazing. It's floodlights.
Floodlights, yeah. Seats outside, little benches outside there is as well. You know, sit there with your Babs coffee and have a little drink while you're watching. The possibilities as well, because we're already thinking, pod versus club in a five-a-side match.
Yes, absolutely.
Oh, without question.
Really want to
get that in.
Really want. Yeah, but can we caveat it?
Yeah, we want to. We get to choose the club staff.
Yeah, and we'll have Rico. Thanks.
Can we have old jelly legs just for the fun?
Oh yes,
just
come on.
For the fun. Just for the
we
fun.
We can have a little. We can have a little round robin. We can also include the local media.
Yeah.
Could be a media. Media versus
what,
the
Henners.
Club thing.
Henners, yeah. Sharp and Ogle. Who else is there?
Walton.
Casey.
Walton.
He'd referee it, surely.
Walton.
Get Pete Walton to referee it.
Yeah, there you go. Look, that's three teams already.
There we go.
This is going to be exceptional. Anyway, let's not talk about any more of that because we've got a question, I think, in the postbag, which we'll come to in a little bit, which is going to be lots of fun.
Tim Breaker.
Time for another break. When we return, we'll dip into the postbag.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Welcome back to It's All Cobblers to Me. It's time for the postbag.
To the post, to the post. Get your comments and thoughts to the post. We're ready and willing to read out your scribbling. So get them all into the post, to the post, to the post. Get your comments and thoughts to the post. Put pen to the paper. Do it sooner, not later. And get it all into the post. Get it in.
Postbag time, you say, Charles?
Mm.
We've got a relatively lengthy one from Malcolm Butler.
Ooh. Love a lengthy one, don't you, Neil?
My favourite types of ones, yes. Way back in June, when the fixture list was released, next weekend leapt out. Not only was it an away day in the nation's capital, Charlton, but it coincided with my eldest grandson's birthday and my weekend off. Plans were made, and yours truly and Nathan, grandson, were off to the valley. Sadly, international commitments have scuppered our plans. So I've gone and got the Cobbler's Time Machine out of the shed. And next Saturday, me and Nathan can go to any league match in the past.
Oh.
But here's the catch. An away match at Charlton in mid-November is not season-defining. So which game in your Cobbler's supporting history upon which nothing hung on are you going to? For the record,
that's a question.
Nathan and I are off to Leeds Road, Huddersfield on February the 18th, 1989. A 2-1 win with Paul Culpin and Dave Gilbert penalty securing the points. All the best, Malcolm.
What's a question?
Really good question.
So it can't be season defining, but it's a game that stands out. Is that right? That you want to go back to and enjoy all over again.
You can't have anything like... Yeah, you can't have anything like dagging them away as... Yeah...
Or cup games, I'm going
to
get.
Yeah, it has to be a bit of a normal league game with, apart from 3 points being on the line, that's it, really.
I've got one.
I've got one as well.
Oh, okay.
On a personal level, for those of you that won't have known, I went to my first Cobblers game when I was about 4 or 5. It was the Grimsby game, the playoff loss. And for some reason, I was hooked. Ridiculous. I don't know why. But anyway, it took a further 8 seasons for me to see.
Oh, yes.
The Cobblers score, and it was a random game against Cheltenham. And we should have won it 2-1, but the ref didn't give the second goal because he didn't think it had crossed the line, but it had. But it didn't matter because I'd seen the first goal, and it was, I can't even remember who scored it. It was so insignificant in the grand scheme of things, but I'd waited so long to see him score. And I just, it was brilliant. It was a great moment. And Sean was saying to me, did you see it go over the line? I'm like, yeah, I did. Because I was quite small still at the time. And so it was completely insignificant to everybody else. But to me, it was great because it was the first time I'd seen him score, which was nice.
Danny, what would yours be?
I've the first thing that came to my mind was, I'm going to pluck the date from thin air, 25th of January, 1997. Snow surrounding the pitch. Snow had been cleared off the pitch by fans.
Oh, I know where you're going.
There we go. Call comes out on teletext. Any Cobblers fans want to come and clear the pitch?
On teletext.
The phone trees are going mad. All the fans get down there to Sixfields, clear the pitch. Snow's off the pitch. There's resting by the side. There's a little mound in front of the north stand. Neil Grayson, 44-minute goal. Neil Grayson, 45-minute goal. Half time. Cup of tea. Oranges. Ian Atkins. Cup of tea. Back they come. 3 minutes after half time. Larry, goal. Hat trick. Dives in the snow to celebrate. Lovely old time. Noel's house party's on the TV in the evening. Gladiators is coming on. Fish and chips on the go. It's a Saturday afternoon in January. It's a Saturday evening coming up. Everything's rosy. Cobblers are going up. E-I-E-I-E-I-O. E-I-E-I snow, maybe.
Oh, yeah. I like that. Oh, that's just a good one,
just
Danny.
Lovely like memories of just coming back from a 3-0 win in the freezing cold to a glorious, glorious night and just being in love with football. And that's the season that did it, and that's one of the games that stands out. There we go.
I'm going to go to the 27th of March, 2004.
Oh, go on.
Ooh.
Yes. Ooh, I remember this one.
Up in Macclesfield.
Oh. Yeah.
Somebody scored all four goals.
Oh.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. What a game. Just because Rico scored all four goals. It's brilliant.
That and had he not scored before then, or he scored one before then or something?
It hit the crossbar about 87 times, I think.
Including against Man United, wasn't it?
Yeah, he did, didn't he?
Yeah.
And that was, yeah, it was just one of those games. I enjoyed being there at the time, and I would like to experience it again.
I literally watched that game on teletext.
That was a fantastic, fantastic game.
I'm going to go to a game that I didn't get the chance to go to the first time around. So I'm going to go back to December 2015.
Oh, nice.
Kenilworth Road.
Oh, yes.
Oh, yes.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, that was a corker.
4-3, Cobblers win, and that free kick.
Oh, just... Yep.
Oh, 4-3 win, and it was a game I couldn't go to because of it being... mainly because of the fact that I'd have been home looking after child, not being able to go to many games, I don't think, back then. It was more I did the whole glory thing. As soon as it looked like we were definitely on the way, I then made sure that I went to as many as I could. But this was just kind of at the start of the turn, wasn't it, the Luton game, really? Was the Plymouth game before, or was it it was afterwards, wasn't it, where we went top,
of January,
I think?
That yeah. was. 2,500 fans went down there. It was nuts. That's when Jordan and me looked at each other and went, oh my God, something's happening
here.
Yeah,
I went to that.
Yeah,
the Luton game for me.
We probably saw each other, Jeffy.
Yeah, we probably didn't even know. No, we wouldn't have known each other at that point, would we?
No.
Yeah, so I'd be going back to that Luton game, I think. Yeah. That'd be amazing.
That Luton game
season,
as well.
That season, there were so many. Yeah, there's loads. So many. The Orient game that season.
I can't think of that Luton game without thinking of dear old Rob Dunkley as well. Just... Absolutely. Yeah. Sorely missed.
Got one from Lewis on the Slack, which is a lovely question.
Go on, Lewis.
Mm.
In a It's All Cobblers to Me 5-a-side team, where the four of us obviously are already starters.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
which current or former player from the Cobblers are you selecting as the fifth member?
Brilliant question.
What's the fifth member? So there's only one.
He does say two substitutes allowed as well, but we'll be here all day otherwise, so we'll just go with the fifth choice.
Should we first of all decide where we would like to play?
Yeah, that's sensible.
So that we can then decide, well, which position do we need?
That makes sense.
That is why you
run
the ship,
Giles. Really, I can't play football, so... I can't play football, so anywhere you like for me, it's going to fail.
Neil, where would you put yourself? I'm thinking marauding midfield winger.
Yeah, Neil needs to be the energy.
I'd be a centre midfielder. That's right.
Oh, centre midfielder.
I feel like Jeffy needs to go up front because that's place. You know, if she's saying she can't play football, we're not nor can any of us.
I can't. I'm
I feel
terrible.
Like she's the less dangerous. I feel like you've got a knack as well, Jeffy, for just nipping it in there. You just pop up.
We haven't
with
got
it.
A goalie.
I'll go in goal.
I could use.
Do we go with a goalie then?
I'll be in goal.
Should
I'm
we
modern.
Get a goalie?
Let's get a goalie.
Oh, come on.
I think you and Charles could form a formidable defensive partnership.
Yeah, and I could be up front and just hope for the best.
Yeah. A bit we'll hoof it up to you, Jeffy. So we need a keeper.
Who would we have in goal?
Who would we go for in goal? Was it current or former?
Yeah.
Current or former.
You know where I'm going with this.
Go on. Go on. I reckon we might be going for the same person here.
No, I'm going for
have
someone
we,
who's
Danny,
recently...
Have you met this person?
I don't think so, no.
Oh, okay.
I mean, it would have been a meeting of minds, to say the least, if I did. Recently departed the Cobblers in the summer. Played against us at Wembley.
Little Johnny Maxted.
Little Johnny Maxted.
Little Johnny Maxted.
Imagine. I think he'd be brilliant. A five-a-side goal.
I feel like we'd have problems keeping him in goal. He'd be flying out all the time.
Oh, no, no.
Get him in there.
Come on, I look, there's only one option, surely. For a five-a-side, the goals are smaller, right?
Oh, yeah. Charles, you're not about to go Woody.
I love the fact that you knew that straight away. Let's get Woody in. Woody would be amazing. What a five-a-side team we would have.
The after drinks would be great as well, just for that matter alone.
Oh, so, absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely.
I think I'd go Alex O'Reilly.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Oh, what about the fellow who'd saved two penalties?
Neil Kitson.
Get him in there.
Yeah.
Yes.
I was trying to think of someone who looks like he might be relatively sort of fit as well.
You say Woody's not relatively fit?
But yeah, Woody's had his time as being fit, hasn't he?
But Woody can manage us as well. He can be player manager because he's got,
He could, but he might bring Gareth Southgate down to do that for a laugh.
Yeah.
Take a look at us.
But if we get a keeper that's fit, then when we're all struggling, we can take it in turns in goal.
Okay.
I will see what you mean, yeah.
God. Keith Welch. No, okay.
Yeah, I need a breather. Go on, Alex, get out there.
Okay. All right then.
I mean, you know people like this have aged as well, right? You know, they're not still in that physical peak as we remember them.
Yeah, Alex O'Reilly is
still not the same age and the same
Alex O'Reilly might be smoking 50 a day by this point.
Alex O'Reilly.
Damn it.
Oh, dear. Funny.
Oh, Woody it is.
Get Woody. Woody is.
Right, okay, Woody, there we go. We're having Woody. Brilliant.
Next up, Tom Chiswell, like this one. Me and my mates in the North Stand have affectionately nicknamed Manny Monte Biko, as we think he is like a fridge freezer with legs. You or any of the other podcasters have any strange nicknames for any of the cobblers squad?
Basically, all of them.
Let me tell you, Tom. All of them. Yes, we do.
Yes, we do.
All of them.
Where
all
would
of
you
them.
Like us to start?
All of them. Let's start from the goalkeeper and work our way out.
I mean, on Saturday, we were suggesting that Manny Monte should be Jeffy's Christmas tree.
Yeah, we were.
I'd forgotten about that.
Every year, by the way, just to give it context for any new listeners, every year, Jeffy puts, instead of a star or an angel on the top of her Christmas tree, she puts a cobbler's player. And I don't mean the actual player. She just prints out a photo and sticks that to
be incredible every year. Who's got Jeffy this year? Oh, it's your turn.
Get up there, Tyrese. Yeah.
Last year, was it Sam last year?
It was Sam last year, yeah. And then the year before, it was the King. And it was John Joe many years ago.
Well, there you go. I mean, you've already mentioned one. Ali Koike is the King. King Koike. Obviously, Louis Apare is the Labrador.
Louis would be a lovely addition to the top of that tree, Jeffy. Can you imagine his little face on the top of the tree?
He'd be a good boy up
there.
Get up there,
go on. He might start chasing some of the leaves around there. So.
Any others? I mean, Jack Salby's the crab.
The crab.
Yeah, but then
the
crab. that's a club thing as well, isn't it? Yeah. It's not just us.
Azamagaza.
Yeah, as a Magaza. Yeah.
Monty is obviously old Jelly Legs.
Old Jelly Legs.
Yeah, old Jelly Legs. Yeah. Who else is there?
Birginald.
Mitchinald Pinnock.
Mitchinald Pinnock. Yeah. Quite a few we've got.
It's evolving all the time as well, the list.
Yeah.
Absolutely. It never stands still.
It does change.
Yeah.
Final one we've got is from Junior Salmons. Dear Neil, should the Cobblers sign Cole Stockton in January?
Not on his performance on Saturday.
Get him in there.
Going by Saturday, Matt, no.
He had a lovely time, didn't he?
He cleared the North Stand.
He did, didn't he?
Yeah.
That was funny.
And didn't he send a P-roller through?
He did send a P-roller through as well, yeah. And he showed his butt to the West Stand. So
nice.
But get him in.
Potentially just for Matt. We're not sure. that is your postbag empty.
Get your questions into the bag, podcast@cobblerstome.com, or find us on Twitter and Instagram and Facebook. Lovely stuff. Thank you very much, Neil. Lovely postbag that. Danny,
hello.
Was at the Fernabau.
I was.
On Sunday. The Fernabau being Ferniefield. There's another nickname that we've created, Cobblers related. Ferniefield is known as the Fernabau. To watch NTFC women in the FA Cup first round, they were playing Ipswich, Danny.
Ipswich, as old
Ipswich.
Ipswich. Yes, they were.
Ipswich.
Do you want to know what happened?
How did it go?
I mean, the result wasn't great. Was it lost 6-0? But I think in situations like this, you're playing a team. No. We're playing a team from a higher level, a league above us. Plus, not just that, they're battling for promotion from that league into the Championship, which is different level altogether. So I think when you have games like this, you've got to look at what you did do well and how we fought. And I thought we all afternoon we fought really well. We played with a lot of pride on the day. And it's easy to say after the game, oh, you know, you battled, you played with pride. But they genuinely did work so hard and they didn't stop playing. They didn't give up. They kept on playing the way they wanted to play. And I thought we gave them a battle at least. But Ipswich just had that quality. They're just a level above, the class above for them. And there's no disgrace to lose to it sort of at all, because they're just so much better in terms of footballers and technique. And they've got professional players on their books. One of the players, Sophie Pesquet on the right-hand side, so impressive all afternoon. She was skillful. She was direct. She was creating chances. Did a bit of research after the game, and she was their first ever professional player, and that was 3 years ago. So that shows the kind of level that we're playing against on Sunday. That they started going professional, signing players to professional contracts back in 2021. Back in 2021, they've just got that little bit of extra about them. But you know, It was a good game. It was enjoyable to watch a team like that and to see us compete against teams like that, because in the past we have tended to sit back and not impose our game on them. But it was really good to see us compete. I will say though, Charles, you'll enjoy this. Ipswich fans packing out the Furnabout, they were. There's a good split, I'd say, of Ipswich and Cobblers fans.
What I would enjoy?
No, you'd enjoy the one that brought a drum.
Okay. Charles.
One of them.
Every
time Katie McLean went to kick the ball.
What did they do? Did they play Seven Nation Army on it?
No, every time Katie McLean went to kick it, goal kick, free kick, anything, anytime it came back to her to kick it, they were just like drumming it and trying to put her off. So it's not even a good drummer. It's a stupid drummer. Get out, slug.
It's the worst kind of drummer.
The worst kind of drummer slug is the worst kind of drummer, I think.
Drummer slug.
But we could have taken the lead. Like Jay Bell went early on, shot over. Ipswich just came back into it and started to settle down a bit. But I think if we had scored that first goal, it might have been a bit more interesting. But Ipswich, just as soon as they scored that first goal, you saw them take control. You saw them, you know, come into their own, come into their stride a bit and start playing the way that they want to play and just impose it on us. And they just were more clinical and stuff. But no, generally, I just really enjoyed that afternoon, even though we lost 6-0. It sounds weird, but it was just, you know, you want to see a team putting on the Cobblers shirt, playing with pride, and we did just that, and they gave everything for it. So, you know, fair play to them, and fair play to them to keep on going right to the end of the game. That enjoyable watch, for sure. Probably one of the weirdest things to say after 6-0, but I did enjoy it, weirdly enough.
I was going to say, because you were obviously messaging throughout the game while you were there, and it didn't sound like you were ever sort of downbeat over it or anything like that. And no, maybe that is partly because of the fact that Ipswich are a level above, and therefore you not that you expect to go to a game and watch a defeat happen, but you know, you're a little bit more inclined to sort of go, well, thought this was a possibility.
Yeah, and some of the moves and the passing moves, I mean, and stuff.
It sounds like we gave a good account to ourselves.
Yeah. Like some of the passing and moving and everything was just ridiculous themselves, the way they got around us. So it's easy to accept that. It was just, you then just look at what we're bringing to the performance. It wasn't a capitulation. It wasn't a 6-0 game. It wasn't, you know, we didn't collapse or anything. And we made chances. We had efforts on goal. We could easily have scored. We had, I think, who was it? Was it Layla Chanel, I think? Or Chanel Channel, I think her name is. She got, you know, it's one of those ones where the keeper comes out and she saw her stranded and she tried to lob her, and it was, so there's a few chances that we had, but it just wasn't quite going in for us. And I just wish we'd have got that goal just to round off the afternoon a little bit. But enjoy, but just annoying, isn't it, when we play a team like that in the first round? You just want to get through a couple of rounds against sort of what lower league teams and stuff, and then get your big game. But no, good experience for them, I'm sure.
Gives us a bit of perspective though, doesn't it? Because if you think of, in terms of the evolution of what Ipswich have, that's the evolution and the progression we're looking for long term. Mm-hmm. So actually it gives us a bit of a marking point of where we need to go.
Yeah, 100%. And that's how, you know, that's how good you're going to be. It's quite a way to go, but you know, on and off the pitch, I'd say that is. It's just the amount of backing that they get from the club of Ipswich and stuff. So there is a lot to do, but good experience. And I think good as well, just to see the Furnabout packed. I think there's 289 there at the weekend. And just from both sides, like I say, just if you take away the fact that we've lost to them and, you know, they're whatever, you don't want to lose, but looking around the pitch and seeing a good mix of Ipswich and Cobblers fans show just how much the women's game is growing and the interest in it's growing. The fact that you've got loads of away fans there at the Furnabout. Yeah. It was just a really nice sight before the game, and just to mix with some of their fans. It was nice to mix with during the game, I'll say, and just to have a chat to about each other's seasons, and just really, really nice atmosphere again. So yeah, I think it sets us up well to the season. I don't think it's going to be one that hits us and like throws our league form off or anything like that. It should, because it was just a decent performance all around, I thought.
Yeah, and a new signing was announced before the match as well. Paris Mallon.
That's Mallon, yeah.
Signing on. A winger.
Winger.
Formerly of Nottingham Forest.
Yeah, seems like a good signing.
So that's maybe a bit of a coup.
Yes.
Yeah.
Get him in.
Sounds like a great signing. Was she in the match day squad?
Yeah, she's in the squad. She didn't get on, I don't think.
She was. No, she didn't come on. Yeah.
But
it'd be good to see. So good to see when she gets her debut next up, Russian Diamonds.
On that as well, by the way. There was a debut. Jess Evans made a debut. She's a midfielder.
Of course.
Really, really fitted in well. I thought she had a really good shift, played well the entire game, won some cracking tackles as well in there. It's a little bit of bite that we need, I think, as well. And that she really put a good bit of battling ability in there. And she definitely adds to that midfield. So good to see that, and good performance from her as well.
The development squad won 6-2 away to Newport Pagnell Town in the East Midlands Women's Regional Football League Division 1 South today. There you go. I've managed to get it all in. Kitty Crouch, Ona Nadefo and Alex Bartlett all scored braces.
Yeah, braces.
Which is lovely to hear. Okay, lovely stuff. Thank you very much, the three of you, for coming along.
1 point of order, Charles.
Oh.
Bringing it. A point of order from Mr. Edgerton.
Got a new fan.
New fan?
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah, on the Twitter, I was just scrolling. No, not scrolling, scrolling, sorry. Jim O'Brien tweeted the football club. Jim O'Brien. I was visiting Northampton from Ireland for a family occasion on Saturday. A group of us went to see the Cobblers game. Great atmosphere, friendly staff everywhere, and a cracking second half. Thanks to all, my new favourite English team. #Sean.
Go on, Jim.
Go on.
Love that. Jim. Get it in there.
Come on, Jimbo.
While we're at it as well, Martin, I forgot to mention him last week. Martin from the women's game last week spoke to me at halftime. He had a lovely chat with Martin. He's only been following the Cobblers a couple of years since he moved here. So another new fan. So and good to see him. And thanks to everything you said about the pod as well, Martin. So, yeah, love a good new fan.
Love a new fan.
Anyone else?
There we go.
Anyone else new?
If you're new, let us know.
Let us know. Absolutely. That is it for this week. Thank you very much for listening. If you want more from us, you can get it. All you need to do is join our Patreon, patreon.com/cobblers2me. You can listen to our weekly podcast all about the rest of League One and chat about fellow Cobblers fans in our community on Slack. patreon.com/cobblers2me to sign up for a 7-day free trial. For now, though, goodbye.
See ya.
Toodle pips.
Way! There's the cup. There's the pictures you'll see on tomorrow's back pages. The Cobblers are going through into Division 1. Bring them on, because we deserve it.
Sports Social Podcast Network.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18+. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.